The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You know, comparing Eric Metaxas to any other radio show host is a lot like comparing apples and, oranges, perhaps?
Yes, that's it. Precisely, oranges.
Ripe, luscious, supple oranges dripping with sticky sweet juice.
Another day or two and they'll be rotten and inedible.
But today, they're glorious and inviting.
Just like Eric.
And now, aren't you glad he's here?
Eric Metaxas. Hey, folks. Today is Wednesday, the 23rd. Of December, but we've turned the corner. The days are getting longer. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the sun. The sun. Albin.
Yes, sir.
Christmas is coming up here, and I thought to myself, we got to do a couple things. First of all, we got to announce that our sponsor, who's glowering behind me, Mike Lindell, okay? Anything you buy at mypillow.com or mystore.com helps our sponsor, Mike Lindell, and helps the show if you use the code ERIC. So we want to remind you to do that. And I want to remind you that the Uncle Muggsy books that are available at mystore.com are priced so low that I'm saying this as a warning. We're going to increase the price. So if you ever wanted these great books, I promise you, here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to tell you. If you ever get them, you're going to go, oh, I didn't realize they're so beautiful. They're huge. Buy them while they're still this price because you're going to be very sorry. In the next segment, I'm going to do a dramatic reading of Uncle Muggsy and the Terrible Twins of Christmas, written by Eric Metaxas and Tim Raglan, illustrated by Tim Raglan. It's kind of like Frasier meets the Little Rascals. I'm not kidding. It's very innocent and fun, but it's also witty. It has a kind of a British flair, even though it's American. The illustrations are goo goo gaga, insanely beautiful. So in the next segment, I'm going to do a dramatic reading of that. So if you have the book, you may want to read it along with the kids or may want to turn the pages with the kids as I do my dramatic reading. So that's coming up next. And then we've been doing Christmas song parodies. John Zmirak wrote Biden Did You Know, which is still available. It's still out there, but they keep taking it down. There's a Chinese version that's up. I'm not kidding. There's a Chinese version, and we'll keep putting it up so you can see it. But the Chinese version, it only has Chinese subtitles, so you can enjoy the English as well. But I think that's the only one that's still up. But then I wrote a song to go along with God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and Chris Himes brilliantly put together yet another video. So we have Just Rest Ye in the Basement, Friend, which is the Bidens Know How to Run Campaigns by staying in the basement. Chris, you did that. It was amazing. Congratulations.
Singer. Eric, I was just thinking if the radio show doesn't work out for us, we can start a satirical song parody karaoke company.
We're going to get so rich doing that. Why are we even doing this now? Okay, but Albin really started this whole thing off because Albin wrote an anti-fa-la-la-la-la-la-la song. Now, Albin, the world has been clamoring for this, and yet we haven't given them any more. Can you share with our audience your Christmas parody?
I can. In fact, I have a new second verse to the anti-fa-la-la song, the anti-fa Christmas carol. Right. So if you don't mind, I'd like to sing the first verse and then go right into the second verse. If that's
I do mind, but I insist you do it anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. Just because you mind. Here we go. And a one and a two. Burn the halls with Molotov cocktails. Antifa la 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 la. See the blazing shops before us. Antifa la 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 la.
Don we now our masks and baseball bats, Antifa, Antifa, la, 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 while we steal your hard-earned treasure, Antifa, la, 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 la. Troll and cancel conservative websites, Antifa, la, 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 la. Defund the police and disarm gun owners, Antifa, la, 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 la. Follow me to the mostly peaceful protest, Antifa, Antifa, la, la, la. Before I return to my mommy's basement, Antifa, la, 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 la.
You know what? You go to the head of the class, my friend. Chris, you're out. James, engineer, you're out. Albin, you go to the head of the class. That is unbelievable. Great. It's a heartwarming tale of Marxist violence. What more could we ask for at this Yuletide season? I'm so grateful to you for your sixth sense of humor. God bless you.
When I see red, I think Marxist.
Enough fun. All right. Let me just say that, gosh, we've got so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of the madness of this year. I think I mentioned earlier in the week that we put up some videos. Socrates in the City, I did two interviews 5 years ago, with one with Colin Nickel, who wrote The Great Christ Comet, spectacular book where he says that the Star of Bethlehem was really a comet. It seems to be definitive. When you read the book or when you listen to my interview with him at SocratesInTheCity.com, which we are posting on our YouTube channel, The Eric Metaxas Show, you're going to see that he probably got it, number one. Number two, we're posting an interview with Michael Ward, dear friend, who wrote one of the greatest books, and it is probably the greatest literary discovery of the 20th century. Think what I just said, how big that would be if it's true, and I think it's true. It's called Planet Narnia is the title of the book. There's a shorter version called The Narnia Code, and there's a BBC documentary called The Narnia Code made by my very good friend, Norman Stone, the director. It's amazing because it gets us to think about the conjunction of planets and what C.S. Lewis thought. I won't go into it, but visit our YouTube channel for the Eric Metaxas Show. And I think we will have those posted. They should be posted right now. We've got all kinds of other stuff. My goodness. Christmas is just about upon us. And you know what? I want to say again, until the end of the year, we're asking you to donate to CSI. Now, we've talked about this many times. There are people being enslaved in our time, while we are living in a free country that has its challenges, but is nonetheless still free. We're dealing with things around this world that are just hard to fathom. If you go to our radio website, metaxastalk.com, we'd love to encourage you to free a slave. There's no hyperbole. There's no metaphor. This is real. Metaxastalk.com. If there's anyone for whom you wish to get a present, you can't think what to get them, what greater thing conceivable than to tell them that in your name for Christmas gifts, I have freed a slave because of CSI, Christian Solidarity International. You go to our website once again. It's metaxastalk.com. You will see the banner. You can do that. I still can't get over it. And I say again, if there's anybody out there who can give a huge amount, like $10,000 tax deductible, to free 40 human beings from slavery through CSI, it would be my privilege to join you for dinner, to spend the evening with you. Albin, can you say the phone number for those people who'd prefer to make a phone call to CSI?
Yes. Please call today. It's 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522.
3522. I want to reiterate that all these places where you can get books, I have to say this because there's so many different places. If you want signed books by me, you go to the Socrates in the City website. If you prefer to get my Donald the Caveman books signed, you go to shopmetaxas.com. hats, mugs, and I'm going to say it again. This is the time. The prices are nuts. We'll be right back with a dramatic reading of Uncle Muggsy and the Terrible Twins of Christmas.
Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy-up, let's go, let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy-up, 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 it's grand, just holding your hand. We're gliding along with a song of a wintry fan.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Uncle Muggsy and the Terrible Twins of Christmas, I've talked about it and talked about it, now you're going to hear it. I think I did read Yankee Doodle Muggsy around July 4th, but this is the one that started it all. This is the Scrooge character. This is the guy, the bachelor, bulldog, plutocrat, W.C. Fields, grumpy character who has the little kids come into his life and turn him upside down. It's written in verse, so you got to listen carefully. If you've got the book, you got to turn the pages. Save this so you can, you know, play it at another time when you have kids around with the book. I'm so excited. Uncle Muggsy and the Terrible Twins of Christmas by Eric Metaxas and Tim Raglan. Oh, Muggsy was a happy bachelor, never married in his life, always did just what he wanted, had no children, had no wife, and neither did he have to work, nor had he very many cares. I catered to his every need, that's me, you see, upon the stairs. And now I'll ask you to relax, as this our happy story weaves. If you're in need of anything, please call for me. My name is Peeves. Oh, wifeless, childless Uncle Muggsy, singleness and freedom yours. Children never mar your quiet. No wife is wakened by your snores. And you never have to go outdoors. Oh, how you love your life, dear Muggsy. How you've clung to bachelorhood, ever doing as you wanted, never doing as you should, and wouldn't change it if you could. And how he loves to dress his best for a romantic tete-a-tete with the woman whom I call Miss Dogmont and whom he knows as Margaret. But lo, the day before Christmas Eve, a missive came by courier. It spoke of children soon arriving. His sister's twins, one him, one her. From out his lips there crept a Gadzooks, said he, a further shock. Their train is due at 1 o'clock, which left no time to finish breakfast or to inquire about his stocks. And as he dressed himself that day, it left no time to match his socks. And there they waited, he and she, identically uninvited. Their Merry Christmas, Uncle Dear, went entirely unrequited. Hear this, he said, my tiny guests. There'll be no celebration. Christmas is just another day for my rest and relaxation. But then their ancient traveling bag, held by a single piece of tape, unleashed a sudden flood of marbles from which no Noah could escape. And down we went, both he and I, tearing our respective pants. As did the town council and the mayor and the ambassador of France. And then in the morning he came to learn that the terrible price of the marble spill had been expressed to the last penny in 3 lawsuits and 1 doctor's bill. "Thus, Peeves," he said, "does fate repay us. My singular order is become twinned chaos." But always knowing just what to do, he took the children to the zoo. And there, from his great wealth of learning, he brought out bits of animal lore, excluding neither fish nor fowl, nor the luncheon habits of the 3-tusked boar. But while he told them of the tiger's stripes, the children, unnoticed, went chasing about, spreading good tidings of Christmas cheer by letting the animals out. The dinner that night began quite well. How Muggsy loved my roasted duck, as did Miss Dogmont and little Emily and her brother, whose name was Habakkuk. But the harmony was not to last. It was Muggsy himself who was to blame, for it was he that night who said it. "My goodness, Habakkuk, what a funny name." And when the children were sent to bed, Muggsy could at last relax, with the lovely Miss Dogmont at his side and a warming fire at their backs. "Margaret, my dear," he started to say, "I treasure these moments with you." Then a bump and a crash from the West Wing was heard, and he knew that their romance was through. And so to the library quickly they ran, and oh, what a scene that they found. The Julius Caesar was wearing a hat, and the Hermes was knocked to the ground. And the children were perched on a mountain of books atop Muggsy's favorite old chair, and he saw they were using his cherry wood pipes to blow bubbles of soap through the air. He saw they were holding an album filled with photographs from his youth. Muggsy cringed, for he knew what was coming. "Your name is Ambrose," they shouted, "forsooth." "Begone, you twin rapscallions, go," cried Muggsy. "Now you seal your doom. You'll stay put tomorrow. Christmas be hanged. Both locked up all day in your room." The children departed. Miss Dogmont now spoke. "Don't you know that tonight's Christmas Eve? You're a selfish old cur with a heart made of stone." And she sniffed twice and then took her leave. Oh, wifeless, childless Uncle Muggsy, singleness and freedom yours. No children there to mar your quiet. No wife to waken with your snores. Oh, how you've loved your life, dear Muggsy. How you've clung to bachelorhood. Ever doing as you've wanted. Never doing as you should. Would you change it if you could? And as he sat there, still and quiet, his blank gaze drifted to a page of pictures from his childhood, of moments from a golden age. And there, under a Christmas tree, he saw a very happy child, which made 2 tears form in his eyes. But through the tears, old Muggsy smiled. When the twins awoke that Christmas morn, a silent coldness filled their room. Their Christmas hopes had all been dashed, their dreams of joy replaced by gloom. But hark, from downstairs came the sound of a laugh that boomed so the rafters shook. And helpless to contain themselves, the children went to have a look. And so to the top of the stairs they ran, and oh, what a scene that they found.
Miss Dogmont and Muggsy were both wearing hats, and presents were piled all around. The town council had formed a Christmas quintet, and the mayor was singing a song.
Here we come a-caroling among the leaves so green.
And whenever they came to the chorus, the ambassador of France sang along.
Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too.
Come down, dear children, Muggsy cried. Come down, my honored guests. It's Christmas Day, so join us in our gaiety and jests. We do accept, they now replied, your gracious invitation. But what's to become, O uncle dear, of your rest and relaxation?
Hear this well, he said, my guests, there'll be no relaxation. Christmas is not just any day, it's a day for celebration.
And oh, what a grand celebration it was. The happiest day of his life. For Miss Dogmont that day would become an aunt just after she became Muggsy's wife. So our happy stories told, we now shall take our leaves. If you're in need of anything, remember me. My name is Peeves.
Do I have something exciting? Folks, somebody sent me a children's book not long ago. It hadn't yet been published. So I was able not only to get super excited about it, but to actually get my excitement on the back of it in the form of an endorsement. This is the kind of thing I have prayed for. That's all I'll say. I will introduce the women behind this. I have Brooke and Christiane in front of me, Brooke Stanton and Christian Gartzka. Is that correct?
No, it's West.
West, my, much easier. West. Okay.
Yes.
Welcome both of you to this program. Look, you've created this amazing children's book, which I see as powerfully pro-life. But you don't present it that way. You're just putting science out there. But the good news is the science happens to back up the idea that, oh, yes, it's a human being in mommy's stomach. So you've got to tell me, and I don't care which of one of you talks first, but how did you get this idea and what is the company and what else are you doing? I mean, this is really exciting.
Well, when you began as a science lesson for elementary school children, we were responding to requests from elementary school teachers. And it turned into this beautiful book. It is a grounding, fun eye-opener about human life and human development to children in a crazy, confusing world. But it is also an opportunity to really close the education gap that is powering this crisis of human life, if you will. And so the reason kind of why it's so important is because, as you said, science knows when the human life starts. And it's an objective, empirical and contemporary scientific fact of the biological science of human embryology that has been known and documented for more than 100 years and even instituted, codified in 1942 in the Carnegie stages of human embryonic development. The Carnegie stages, so human embryologists view the Carnegie stages the same way that chemists view the periodic table of elements. Imagine trying to teach people about the ingredients that make up the universe without the periodic table of elements. So kind of that's what it's like to teach children about when a human life starts, or teach anyone about when a human life starts without knowing the Carnegie stages of human embryonic.
I was going to say, I talk about, for example, beryllium almost every day. Where would I be if people said, beryllium, that's too political, we can't talk about that. So you right. guys are talking about pure science. And so the title of the book, to be clear for my audience, is When You Became You. Now, this book, When You Became You, where is that available right now? You can just say everywhere.
Everywhere. Retailers everywhere. That's exactly okay. Right.
So now, when You Became You is the kind of a book you could share with somebody, I would guess, who is either not pro-life or who doesn't know where they stand or whatever, because it's just science. You're not presenting this as some spiritual worldview. It's a scientific view. You're coming from the point of view of science. Christiane, what led you? Are the two of you are partners in this company to produce things like this?
Yes, we are. And what we found when we were doing this was that children are natural truth seekers. Children are naturally curious about themselves. And so we have so many books out there. If you walk into the bookstore, there are books about every scientific topic imaginable, but really nothing that teaches children about their own human development, their own story, where they can place themselves. And it really celebrates our shared humanity. And that's really important because, as you know, elementary school children are the culture makers. They are the ones who, you know, later down the line are going to be making hopefully not uninformed decisions about related topics. So we have an opportunity right now to take them before they have experienced corrupt science or the absence of science and really tell them what science has known and documented, as Brooke said, for so long. You know, there is universal consensus among human embryologists about this science. There is literally universal consensus. Human embryologists are the only scientists who are specialized in the early human being and his or her development. And they have universal consensus. This science is in every human embryology textbook. So it's not controversial. It's something that everybody should know, but it does in fact inoculate children against false information later on, which is important.
Well, I have to say, When You Became You, great title, When You Became You, mm-hmm. I hope folks will get a copy. I remember, I'm actually old enough to remember before this was politicized, when I was a kid, a little kid, there was a Life magazine spread when Life magazine was like the big thing and they would do these huge, gorgeous photographic things. I remember my dad showing me, and this was not a political thing, but they had photographs of the embryos of the children in the womb. It was mind blowing. It was so fascinating. And then, of course, in 1973, everything became totally politicized. So Life magazine would never have dreamt of putting something like this in Life magazine. I mean, it's kind of nuts.
Absolutely. One thing that we also wanted to share is that, so while science denial, kind of ignorance today is partly driven or largely driven by science denial going back to Roe, like you're just talking about, we feel that we have found that today, kind of this consensus gap, if you will, between science reality and public perception about when a human being begins to exist is really science education failure is kind of a major factor driving that consensus gap. And what we found that even though science knows and knowing matters, we know that knowing matters anecdotally, we know it because research has shown. Dr. Steve Jacobs out of the University of Chicago actually quantified that knowing matters in terms of, he found that participants were asked whether there would be an impact if it became common knowledge that fetuses are biological humans at fertilization in terms of whether abortion rates would
forgive me, I didn't realize we're going to a hard break. I will let you continue that as soon as we come back. Forgive me, we'll be right back, folks. Big
Thanks.
Stuff. Folks, we're back. I'm talking to Brooke and Christiane. I'm just going to use your first names because the title of the book, I want people to remember, it's When You Became You. It shows for kids, for anybody, what happens before a baby is born. It's beautiful. It's true. It's science. This is not some religious thing, folks. So I hope people will buy this book and donate it to their public libraries. I hope people will buy this book and donate it to their school libraries and just shut up about where you're coming from politically or religiously. This is a book about science and everybody needs to see the science and we need to forget about the political side of it because the science speaks for itself. So you were talking, Brooke, about the science and you were quoting somebody saying that when people see this knowledge, when people understand this stuff, it really does affect them.
Yes, so Dr. Steve Jacobs out of the University of Chicago found that if it was more widely known that a human fetus is a human being from fertilization, destructive trends like abortion would decline. So science knows and knowing matters. And yet, despite that fact, according to a recent Marist poll, about 60% of Americans do not know that a human life starts at fertilization. And more than 4 in 10 Americans do not even know that a human fetus is a human being. Worse, 23% of 18 to 22-year-olds think a human life starts at birth, and only 9% of young Democrats know that a human life starts at fertilization. So it's kind of like there's this massive consensus gap between science reality and public perception, and it's getting worse. And so education is really a huge lever that we really need to be leaning into. And this book is one way we can kind of start solving for that. But obviously, Christian, as you and I talk about all the time, science education standards is really where we need to go in terms of kind of solving for this massive gap.
Well, it's become so politicized that I think the two of you, your names are on the book, but the illustrator, who has done a glorious job, elected to take their own name off of the book because the people around them said, no, this is too political. I mean, that's mind-blowing. We're talking about art, and we're talking about scientific reality. You don't need to like the reality, but it is scientific reality. It's like, I'm gonna talk about science. They had to take their name off the book. That's how sick our situation is right now in our culture.
That's exactly what happened. We actually contracted a New York Times best-selling illustrator, and she's based out of China. We dealt with her counterparts here and submitted the manuscript. She agreed to do it twice because she was expensive. We needed to raise the money and go back to her. And you can see, as you said, from the images that she clearly understood what we were trying to achieve and did a fantastic job. I mean, her artwork is transformative. You can't produce artwork like that unless you really enjoy the topic and understand what you're trying to achieve. And so for months, we were going back and forth on the images, and her name was on everything, was on the book, was on everything. And toward the end, we got in touch with the author and publisher of her previous books, her previous children's books, and asked if he would be interested in publishing ours. And immediately there was radio silence, and her counterparts in the US several weeks later got in touch with us and said, listen, this is just too controversial, and we're going to need to pull her name from the book and from, you know, anything related to the book. And if you want to have your high definition images, you'll need to sign a new contract to that effect. So that just goes to show you how incredibly powerful this science is and how important knowing is, because otherwise, why would it be so important to obscure and corrupt it and not allow what is universally agreed to be taught to children?
Christian, just hearing you say that makes me feel so guilty that on this program, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to say, I'm the illustrator. I'm willing to come out. The name Eric Metaxas is not on there. I received no money for this. It was a labor of love. I'm just that talented. I want the world to see what I'm capable of artistically, but I am in the illustrator, and anybody, just because you don't see the name there, it doesn't mean I didn't do the work. Okay, so let's continue. You two have created something beautiful, unique. It's called When You Became You. What is the release date? It's already out, isn't it?
November 10th was when
brand new.
It was rolled by the release. Yes, brand new.
Okay.
Just in time for Christmas.
Well, the reach of this show is so vast that you'll see a teeny uptick in sales. Honestly, I believe in what you're doing so strongly. That's why I gave you a blurb for the back of the book. I saw that Ben Shapiro did as well. So Jews and Christians can agree that science is real. That's not such a big thing. Is that a big thing? Now, we've just got about a minute or two left. What else are you working on? Are you working on other projects together, or are you just pushing this book for right now?
We've already started working on book number 2 in our children's science series. So that's exciting. And we are really going to focus on the first 56 days of a human being's life, which is the most intense period of human development. More than 90% of the 4,500 plus named structures of the adult human body have appeared in that first 56 day period. And yet nobody talks about it. We kind of, again, have denied and corrupted the science for so long. So we're really excited about that. And then Chris John, do you want to talk about science education standards?
Yeah, so our long-term goal is obviously to get human embryology into the classroom. This needs to be in there the way the periodic table is in every chemistry classroom. Nobody should ever graduate high school not knowing when they began and not knowing about the continuum of human life. It's egregious that our children are making uninformed decisions later on, and we can fix this. It's a simple fix. And so we're hoping that states will onboard this into their science education standards.
You two ladies are crazy like foxes. I like that. It's just such a wonderful, it's such a cool thing. Let me ask you, like, what, I don't know if you want to say, but like, what were you doing before you decided to launch this? Because this really is amazing.
So this kind of is completely out of the blue for both of us. Mm-hmm. I have a consulting background, an MBA in finance, and was really looking at this kind of like a consultant would do. And Chris John also has kind of a completely different background, not a science background, but we have an awesome science team and great graphic designers, and we are ready to kind of launch and really get this science out there because it's so important.
And well, it's so simple.
I was going to say, this is so great. Brooke Stanton, Christian West are the authors of this book. You now know that I am the illustrator. What more do you need to know, folks? When You Became You, get several copies, give it to people all over the political and theological map, donate it to libraries, and keep your mouth shut about what you think on the issue. This is just science. Ladies, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground. It's time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it to hold you.
Folks, it's still Wednesday. I can't believe it. Got to tell you, on this 23rd of December, it's challenging to stay in touch and to communicate with our audience because, you know, that a lot of social media is being censored. We're living in weird times. If you don't think these times are weird, you're mentally ill or historically very ignorant, because this is as abnormal for America as anything. And I hope you know that. And I hope you're doing everything you can to fight against it, because the idea of censorship, whether by Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Google and its various satanic permutations, this is not normal. So I'm asking you at the very least to go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, and to sign up for my newsletter. Please sign up all of your friends. Please ask anyone you know to sign up, please. Why? Because this is the only safe way for me to get information out to people so far. Where we put out our videos. I put out all kinds of stuff there. It's ericmetaxas.com. I keep saying this, but I'm telling you, folks, if you don't do it, I really often have no way to be in touch with you. I can't post everything on social media. It's fatiguing. I have a skeleton staff. Albin is drunk half the time. What do you want from me? So here's the issue. We need you to do that. We also need you to support our sponsor, Mike Lindell. Go to mystore.com. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. When you go to mystore.com, you will notice that my books are priced so inexpensively that you're going to say, I think this is a mistake. As the author, let me tell you, oh, it's a mistake. It's a mistake in your favor and against me and my children and grandchildren, because the prices for the Uncle Muggsy books, for example, it's that I can't get the books at a better price. So I think I'm losing money when you factor in labor. So the Uncle Muggsy books are insanely cheap. The Caveman books are insanely cheap. You can get my Bonhoeffer book insanely cheap, cheaper than any other. So I'm saying this to you for your benefit. We want to be in touch with you, and we want you to know what's out there. And it's a little bit challenging. Albin, if people want to get your books. Right now, the best place for them to go is to our radio website, metaxastalk.com. When it says Shop Metaxas, your
Hamster Homes.
Your Hamster Shop Homes series. Metaxas. The whole series is there at Shop Metaxas. It's eventually going to get up on the other websites, but right now it's just at Shop Metaxas.
Yep. Shop Metaxas.
Folks, if you go to Shop Metaxas, you can get those books as well. You can get Eric Metaxas Show hats,
t-shirts,
mugs. And I'll say it again. I know I'm a broken record. They're priced so inexpensively, I have a problem with it. This is how you know I'm a man under authority. I have no control over anything. Like they priced them so low. I said, why are they priced so low? It's the same shirts that were priced double and the same hats that were priced double and the same mugs that were priced double and their shipping or whatever. And they haven't given me an answer. So the mistake is in your favor. Yeah. If you want these things, trust me, they're there. The prices are insane, but the most ridiculous prices are the Uncle Muggsy books. I literally can't buy them at that price.
I found out that Crazy Eddie is now working at the Shop at Metaxas store.
No, it's insane. All right. So folks, don't forget to follow us on social media. Please follow me on Twitter, on Parler, on Facebook, on Instagram. Don't forget to get my newsletter. It's hard to get information out. We're doing our best. And keep praying for this nation. Please don't forget. Very important, most important thing. Thanks.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Like the ones I used to know.